McCowan and Swelling in the Toronto studio. Here's Doug Smith of the Toronto Star. Hello, Smitty. How are you?
Not bad, kids. What's going on?
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yesterday.
Belated.
All those fireworks are for me.
Well, congratulations. I didn't light a single one, I want you to know.
No, I was asleep long before he went off.
I'm not surprised. So, look, this is just me talking here, but to categorize Jeff Weltman as the general manager of the Toronto Raptors has always been a sort of an interesting thing for me, because I don't think he's the general manager. I think Masai Ujiri is still the general manager. I think Weltman maybe did a little bit more than when he was the AGM, but I don't recall ever having Weltman on the program, maybe once when he got the job, but otherwise, when we talked about deals, we talked with Masai. When the Raptors consummated some kind of a move, it was Masai Ujiri who talked about it. First of all, what did you perceive Weltman's role with the club to be?
He was like the right-hand man. He was the advisor, the sort of the conscience, the guy who did some of the scout work and dirty work on deals, talked to agents and other GMs. And Masai was and always has been and always will be the decision maker. But that's a given. Just like Jeff will be as the president of basketball operations in Orlando. They hired John Hammond today as the general manager, but the ultimate decision-making process will end with Jeff Weltman, like it ends with Masai Ujiri here.
Okay,
it's
so...
It's just titles.
Right.
Titles and money.
Okay. What's the nature of the loss to the Toronto Raptors with Weltman going to Orlando?
Well, it's a 25-year NBA veteran, voice not in the room anymore. A guy who knows people. He's a very good judge of talent, very good people person. You lose an experienced voice at the table, and that's a loss. But as for it's not going to cripple the organization, and it's not like whoever does the job next isn't just as capable. But Jeff's been around the league a long time and in a lot of different roles, and has some ideas, and I think that voice will be lost.
You know, Doug, Masai and Jeff were obviously quite close. Jeff given Masai his first paid gig in the NBA, and I think that just getting to know Masai a little bit. He's a guy that sometimes needs a sounding board, sometimes needs somebody to bounce things off of or perhaps take frustration out on. Is that kind of and he trusted Jeff Weltman intrinsically in that role. Is that something the Raptors are going to be missing going forward?
I think it'll be lessened. Whoever takes that job won't have the same relationship with Masai as Jeff did. But you're right, Arden. He hired him in Denver in 2004. He went to Kiki Vandeweghe. Kiki hired him as the general manager. Jeff was working there. Masai got a job as a scout making, $36,000 a year, pittance back then. But it was his first full-time job in the NBA. And he never forgot that support and that loyalty. And he paid it back as soon as Masai told us today that part of his contract when he came here in 2013 was, I'm going to get Jeff Weltman from Milwaukee. That's the kind of relationship they had. And, yeah, he's a sounding board, that sober second thought. And if Masai was going to go off the handle, just the kind of calm guy to say, hey, whoa. Take a step back. Let's look at it from this angle. And it was a voice that Masai respected and listened to.
When you look inside the organization and you look at guys like Bobby Webster, who's had a really, quick rise in the organization, Dan Tolsman is obviously around. Who do you see most likely kind of filling those roles that that Jeff Weltman filled?
I think the logical step is to move everybody up one, move Bobby into the general manager's role, maybe move Dan into the office more as a full-time assistant GM as opposed to a director of player personnel guy and a 905 GM, and then go find another young person who you can sort of groom into your organization. Now, Masai held both kind of options today in a quick conversation we had, but I think he's more prone to loyalty and keeping the status quo as bringing someone in a senior position right now. I would presume that Bobby would get huge consideration to become the general manager.
Any chance that they look outside the organization?
I think for a third person, yeah, I do. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. Maybe a young up-and-coming guy who's a director of scouting now that you can bring in as an assistant GM or something like that. I'm not sure who Masai's people are around the league that he would look that way, but there's a hole in the front office that needs to be filled. And I think if he goes and looks for somebody, I think he'd probably be more prone to look for someone young that he can groom rather than old that would usurp Bobby in the pecking order.
With Doug Smith of the Toronto Star, there is has been speculation over the past few days about the signing of Serge Ibaka to a new deal with the Toronto Raptors. What have you heard? What do you know?
There's nothing signed because they can't do anything until July 1 when the numbers come out, or July 8 when the moratorium's lifted. But Masai said back when he traded for him in February, I'm not trading for a guy to be a rental. So I think this is one of the bigger non-stories of the last 10 days. That I'm sure there are parameters of a deal in place, and I'm sure there were in a wink and a nod situation the 1st of March. So it wouldn't surprise me at $20 million a year. It's about the right number. The number of years might be a thing to think about or look at, but the fact that they've got some sort of understanding of agreement is not a surprise at all, because Masai was on the record back before the trade. I'm not going to rent guys. So I think that would be the message that goes loud and clear to the agent that, okay, here we go. We'll get something done.
If the Raptors did bring back Serge Ibaka, do you think they could bring him back as a power forward? Is he moving into a portion of his career where he's more of a five? And in that case, what does that mean for Jonas Valanciunas?
Exactly.
That's the big question. I think absolutely as the game evolves and as Ibaka evolves, he prefers to play the five as the four. So I think that's going to be an issue. And that's a summertime thing that, you know, the fate of Jonas Valanciunas is very much in play. And I don't know what the resolution is going to be in July. I really don't. But I don't think bringing back Ibaka absolutely means that you trade Valanciunas. I think it absolutely means that Patrick Patterson is gone. But I don't think it means absolutely you move Valanciunas and you let Dwayne maybe figure it out if you can't find a good deal for Jonas out there.
Much has been made of Masai Ujiri's statement that he wants this team to play a different style of basketball. He has told his coach as much, and his coach allegedly has concurred with that assessment. Can you do that without substantially changing the makeup of your roster? To wit, can you do that with a 7-foot Valanciunas in the middle and a 7-foot Ibaka right beside him? Can you do that with a 30-something-year-old Lowry on a new big-money contract? I mean, how far do you have to go in order to change the way you play?
I don't think you have to go very far, because they did it in spurts during this season. Even after the trade deadline, and in the playoffs especially, they did play at a quicker pace. Lowry is the big domino. That's the big, huge question. Does he want to be here? Do they want him back? And at what number do you want him back, and how many years? But can he play fast? I think he can. I think if you put another ball handler on the court like they did with Norm Powell in the Milwaukee series, that speeds the game up automatically, because you let somebody else break guys down and facilitate offense.
That
worked.
You asked two questions there, and I would like to get your answers to those questions. Number one, do you think Lowry wants to be in Toronto?
He's given me never any indication that he doesn't. Now, we all hear the scuttlebutt that's out there that he does. He wants to play somewhere else. He wants to try some different program. But we also heard about DeRozan, too. So I don't take anything. I don't put any stock in that. Nothing that Lowry has done or said publicly or even privately to me suggests he's unhappy here. Of course, there's friction with his coach. There has been forever, and that's what there is in every organization. This is not new.
Yep.
These guys live together for 170 days a year. They hate each other by the end. It's like anybody would be. It's like we all have work colleagues and spend too much time with them. You find that you see their flaws and you get pissed off at them. That happens in professional basketball. It happens in professional hockey and baseball and football. So I'm not putting a lot of stock in that one either. Six weeks or 8 weeks away from each other, things could turn a little bit.
Okay, the other part of that equation is, do the Raptors want him back? Or do they want him back only with conditions?
I think the conditions would be years and finances. I don't think conditions on the way he plays or the way he comports.
I understand.
I would guess that it would be hard for them to give him the fifth year that they're able to, that no other team can. I think it would be fine with them to give him the 10% bump instead of the 7.5% bump on the contract each year that they can, that no other team can. But I don't think the fifth year, and I don't think starting him at the absolute maximum would be something they would want to do. And then it's going to be up to him. Could he get something better out there somewhere else where he's going to get a chance to be as competitive and successful as he is with this team?
Smitty,
that's a question he's got to answer.
We got to go. Always our pleasure. Thanks, pal. And a belated happy birthday again.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later on.